I invite you to turn with me to 2 Timothy, what I imagine, or at least hope, is a familiar passage for many of you. We will begin in chapter 3 at verse 10 and read through chapter 4, verse 5 this morning as we turn to the Word of God and prepare ourselves for communion. You, however, follow my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word now, we are first reminded that it is your word. You have spoken to us and you have revealed to us yourself in these pages, Lord, and in your living word in Christ Jesus, Lord. May your spirit work in us now, that we would be challenged, encouraged, that our eyes would be opened, our ears would hear, our hearts softened, our minds given understanding, Lord, to know you better, to see you better, to follow you better, and to proclaim you better. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. So I guess about 23 years ago now, between college and seminary, I took a year staying at home and worked. I ended up working with an electrical construction company. It was hard work, but it was very beneficial. About 5 years ago when I was meeting with the congregation, I kind of joked. Somebody asked me, so what else have you done besides ministry that you bring with you? And I ran off some things, you know, things I'd done in college, some other activities. And I'm like, oh, yeah, and there was that year in jail. They weren't really sure what I meant, so I had to clarify that the job we were working on was a jail, not that I spent a year in jail. The job was new construction on a wing of the Maryland State Penitentiary. And let me just tell you that nothing will give you a perspective on life like going into a jail for one reason or another, whether it's ministry, hopefully not because you have to be there and have no choice, or whether it, whatever it is, if you work there as a correctional officer, nothing gives you a perspective on the freedom of life as going inside those walls and hearing those doors clang behind you. But that's not the point this morning. I digress. The point is that seeing this building rise up from the ground, seeing how it all comes together and all the pieces, all the subcontractors work together is a fascinating process. It starts by the building of the support girders and the wood forms go into place. Then the rebar support lattice goes in. This was a concrete construction. And so it had to be reinforced. It was going to be three stories of concrete floor upon concrete floor upon concrete floor. We, as the electrical company, were, of course, responsible for running the electrical conduits through that, tying them down to the rebar before the concrete was poured, placing the junction boxes, putting the stubs up through the floor. Now, the first day, I was excited and I was ready to go. This was something new. I'd been given a list of tools by the foreman, who happened to be a former elder in my dad's church. It's probably how I got the job. But before we even left the tool room, one of the master electricians that I would be working directly with called me over and said, "Before we go up on the job, let me show you your two most important tools." And he pulled out blueprints and a tape measure. And I'm going, "Well, I've got four types of screwdrivers, and I've got three types of pliers, and I've got this fancy tool belt, and you're telling me blueprints and a tape measure?" He said, "This process for a building like this seems complicated, but it's not. The concrete guys have to get the bracing and the form right, and the steel guys have to get the rebar right, and then comes our part. These blueprints tell us exactly where every piece of conduit, every junction box, every stub has to be. We have to measure from known fixed points, the outer walls or the columns, to make sure that everything is in precisely the right position. Junction boxes have to be right. They have to be supported from the bottom and tied down so that they don't move or that they don't sink into the concrete when the concrete is poured. The stubs have to be in just the right place because they will later be running up inside of walls. The smallest error here on the foundational infrastructure can have huge consequences on the final result. That is why the blueprints and the tape measure are your most important tools. You'll use everything else, but these are most important." And that's the statement that struck with me was this: the smallest error here on the foundational infrastructure can have huge consequences on the final result. See, that's essentially the same thing that Paul is saying to Timothy here in this passage, to us in our spiritual lives. The smallest error in our spiritual foundation can have a huge impact, not only in our own lives, but also in the lives of others as we are ultimately called to spread our faith. On that job site, I spent as much time looking at the blueprints as I did anything else. We need to do the same in our spiritual lives. Feed on the word, the blueprints. On the job, we transformed the blueprints into reality by using the tape measure and the rest of those cool tools that I wore on my tool belt to transform and see it come to life. The plan became reality. The blueprint is the standard, and the tape measure was the means by which we got it all worked out. As we look at our passage this morning, there is a blueprint and a tape measure. At the end of chapter 3, Paul lays out the blueprint very clearly. "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions, sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord rescued me." He goes on, and then he says, "Continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for those things, teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness." We've talked previously, years past, about what those four things, with the purpose being that the man of God, person of God, whichever you prefer, may be equipped for every good work. The Word of God is the blueprint. It is the foundation. It is the form upon which we rest. It cannot be shaken. Paul wanted to remind Timothy that no matter what may come, no matter what the future may hold, he could be confident in the Word of God. And he gives his own life as an example. He sets his own experience up as an example for Timothy. In verse 10, Paul opened it with, "You have followed." Now, the Greek word here, followed, carries a little different meaning that we might expect in English. I've heard some people say on this passage that this seems to be a very boastful statement. of Paul, that he is lifting himself up, that he is arrogant and saying, look at me, look at what I've done. I am the shining example. Be like me. If we look only at the English in isolation, the word followed and what we think of, maybe you could say that, but that doesn't fit with the Greek, and it certainly doesn't fit with what we know of Paul, the humility that Paul had. The word for followed means more to investigate, to compare closely, to look at and consider, to examine, even at the extreme end of its meaning, to make judgment on the basis of what is known. I'm almost reluctant to say it, but in this case, Twitter actually got it right. To follow someone in this sense is to know the sum occurrences of their life. Paul says, you have followed, you have looked at me, you have seen how I lived. He's not lifting himself up, he's lifting God's standards up. Examine my life against what you have known, the faith that you have been raised. Because you can't take that first couple of verses and separate them from what he says to Timothy next about the faith that he has been given, about the word of God. Paul wants Timothy to know and see how in all things that he endured, Christ was all things to him. Over in Philippians, he wrote that phrase we all know, right? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That was Paul's focus in life. Not that Paul was wonderful, but that Christ was wonderful and all-sustaining. This is the faith that Timothy has, that he was raised with, that he's known. A few years back on Mother's Day, we talked about his mother and his grandmother. You go back to the beginning and it talks about fan into flames, the faith you have been given. This is who Timothy was. This is what he has. And Paul says, build on it. This is the faith of the Bible. Christ, the living word, and none other. No person, no church, no dogma. Sola Christos. Christ alone. So if it's Christ alone, how do we know Christ? Well, the sacred writings, Paul says. Sola scriptura, scripture alone. Not the thoughts of men, but the thoughts and very words of God. That is why scripture is profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. Scripture is the word of God. Any who stand up and teach can only do so not on the basis of their own thoughts or their own whims, but only on the basis of the truth of God. When I stand up here, my opinions don't matter, for I am a fallen and imperfect man. Only God's truth matters. His grace has covered over my faults, just as this robe covers over my clothes. And only His word is perfect for sustaining us in our spiritual life. He has given us the blueprint that we need to be made complete, equipped for every good work. But having the blueprint, there are things we need to do to turn it into a living reality in our lives. As the Word written and the Word living, Christ Himself, the work of the Spirit, transforms us on the inside, it should generate certain actions on the outside. A blueprint is meaningless until the work is done to turn it into a reality. I have never seen anyone walking around with a set of blueprints saying, look at my new house, isn't it wonderful? And that's it. They may say, look at the house we're going to build. It's going to be wonderful when it's finished. And the blueprints are the guide. But there's work to be done. The blueprints themselves are not the sum and summation of what we are called. Having the word is great, but living the word, feeding on the word, going out and putting the word into practice so that it transforms our lives and transforms the lives of others through us, that is what we are called to do. God's work, just like that house that somebody is planning to build, will be wonderful, far beyond anything that we can imagine when it's finished. But right now, it is still a work in progress in us and in the world. The first few verses of chapter 4 I've heard many times at pastors' conferences, conventions, workshops, but these words are not limited just to those in vocational ministry. I think we who are must take special heed to them, but Scripture is written for every believer. Paul again establishes the foundation upon which all else rests, Christ Jesus, the living Word. The written Word is powerful and effective because it is empowered by the living Word of God, the same Word who created the world in the beginning, the same Word who is light shining into the darkness, the same Word who became flesh and dwelt among us, the same Word who went to the cross on our behalf and paid the penalty that was not His own, death, even death on a cross, that we might have life, the same Word who made us sons and daughters of God, the same Word who will come again and take us unto Himself and make all things new. That is the Word, living and written, which we are always to preach, not just from the pulpit on Sunday morning or whenever we might gather, but every moment of every day throughout every action of our lives. It instructs, it corrects, it challenges. It is truth to be spoken in love that others may hear our words. When God's people do this, His church will thrive. We live in a hostile world. It seems that verses 3 and 4 were specifically written for our age. Too many people and sadly too many churches epitomize these verses. Too many today have ears that simply want to be tickled or meet their own whims. They are starving because they do not have and they do not feed on the bread of life. I challenge you. Paul challenges you. The Word of God challenges you. Always lay out a buffet of the true Word of God. Feast on it and continually invite others to it as well. The calling to which we have been called, each and every one of us, is not always easy. It does not always make sense. We will face trouble and trial, yet we must persevere for the sake of that call. Each and every one of you is an evangelist in the literal sense of the word, a spreader of the good news. The Great Commission says so. Proclaim the gospel. Each of you has a part in the work of the kingdom. Serve God. Each of you has a ministry. Make disciples. We must feed on the Word of God, written and living, to fulfill the calling to which we have been called. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We thank You that You have given us everything that we need. Too often we neglect it. Too often we rely on our own strength. Too often we are left hungry, not because You are insufficient, but because we fail to feed. Lord, may we stand firm on the foundation of Your Word, not of our own opinions. Lord, sometimes it's hard to understand in those times. May Your Spirit give us understanding. Lord, sometimes it's hard to follow and obey in those times. May Your Spirit give us encouragement. Lord, sometimes we go astray, but You have said that Your Word will reprove and correct, encourage, instruct, and exhort. Lord, may Your Word do its work in us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.